Our gospel reading is from the Gospel of John today, the chapter 9 and verses 1 through 41. If you listen carefully, you will hear bits of humor and also profound truths intermixed. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' And I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked him, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The blind man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and you are trying to teach us." And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into the world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Now, before we begin our sermon, I've just noticed something in the bulletin, and you may have noticed it too. It's in our tradition that we put the name of the tune off to the right, and I looked at the name of the tune on 141, and I just wanted to say, Larry, if we don't know the name of the tune, it's okay. You don't need to make one up like that. That can't be an actual name of a tune. I'm not sure. Well, let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, I noticed as we were standing, you were truly grateful that the gospel reading was over because it was so long. But I noticed that there were parts of it that I thought were humorous, and you didn't. But I think that it was meant to be humorous and profound at the same time, in the same way the Nicodemus encounter was. But willful blindness is the theme for my sermon I have chosen to focus on. And all of us tend to be willfully blind to some things we do not want to see in ourselves or in our business or in our way. I read about a small, rich country, a very wealthy country. They decided to take on a space mission that no one else wanted to bring notoriety to their nation. And they called up NASA and they explained their plans. And NASA said, "What? You can't fly to the sun. You'll burn up." And they said, "We've thought of that. We're going to go at night." We can all be blind to the obvious if we ignore it hard enough. And often we do. Now, to the scripture, there is so much to learn from this passage. I cannot possibly preach it all today, and I will not try. I could focus on the fact that Jesus, while escaping an angry crowd, trying to stone him to death just before this, took time to notice a blind beggar. Now, that sermon would say, notice the downcast, notice the outcast. But I preached that last week, and that's already in your hearts. I could point out that people back then, even the disciples, believed that a person born blind must somehow be evil or his parents evil, and he was being punished for sins. They asked Jesus, "Who sinned that he was born blind? Somebody must have sinned." Jesus answered, "No, his blindness is not a punishment. It did not come from anyone's sin. I will heal him." The point? Quit looking for blame. Some things just are, and God can use even tragedy to make himself known. I could focus on the interrogation of the Pharisees, who were such sticklers for Sabbath law that they said no one from God would dare heal on the Sabbath. How strange that they thought doing good and healing on the Sabbath would be an offense to God. But that's what the Pharisees thought. So they dismissed the miracle and they dismissed the miracle worker. They said, "Don't confuse me with the facts. I've made up my mind." Rigid rules can blind you to God's good works. I could deal with holier-than-thou judgment, and I will in a way, but we'll put that to later. Now, all of these are good ideas, but I want us to hear in our hearts the simple baby faith of the healed man who said, "I was blind and now I see." He said, "I don't really know who Jesus is. I don't really understand exactly what happened. I can't say whether it is right or wrong for him to heal on the Sabbath. All I know is I was blind and now I see." He had the just-in-the-door kind of faith. He had no biblical understanding of Messiah except one was expected. And yet he had the perception that the officials lacked. I hope you got the punchline of the text. Here it is. Even a blind man could see that Jesus was the Savior. Even a blind man could see it. But the Pharisees missed it. And the blind man saw Jesus and worshiped Him as Lord. On a more personal note, can you say what he said? Have you ever had a personal internal veil lifted? Has there ever been a dark cloud covering you, a dark shroud trapping you, boundarying you, so that God lifted it and suddenly you saw things in a new way? These are moments of growth in faith, growth spurts of understanding. And I think that all of us have had at least a few of those in our life and in our faith. And I think all of us need a few more. When you think, okay, now I've got it, then something happens and you know that the scene has changed, the game has changed, the course has changed. Everything you see differently. Jesus tells the Pharisees, you think you see it all, and that is very bad. Because only when you know that you are blind in some ways before God can I heal you and help you into the light. As long as you think, I see it all so very clearly, you will not seek healing. And in matters of faith and love and who God is and how to treat others, you will just keep bumping into the same walls and stumbling in the dark forever. The healed man said, I once was blind, but now I see. I was a blind man, and now I see Jesus and will follow Him as Lord. My eyes were just open, so I'll follow Him imperfectly and not with full understanding. Understanding only the fact that He healed me, had mercy on me, and loves me. And the whole world is better, and I am better, and I no longer see myself as the crowds did, as a special sort of sinner. I saw myself only as a beggar, hardly even noticed. People couldn't even swear whether that was me or not because they had never seen me. But I see now that God loves me. Imagine that. Once a blind beggar, and now God loves me. God loves blind beggars even today, even you and me. And we are all just a little bit blind. By extension, it seems that God still holds in disdain those who say, yeah, I know about God. I know everything about God. I know who the sinners are. I know who the good people are, and I'm good. And anybody with problems and deficits and poverty, well, they must be bad. That's a problem. That's a problem when we think that way, because that is a willful sort of blindness that even Jesus cannot heal. And there are extremes all over Christendom of folks who say, we see. We've got it figured out. We know who is good and who is bad and why God ought to punish them. You don't have to be good enough to get God's love. No. But you do have to be blind enough to know you don't get it all, you can't get it all, and you are lost in the dark without God's love. And then God can heal you, but perhaps not before. The good people in this story, the people who thought they were good, were the Pharisees, and they didn't get healed because they didn't know there was anything wrong with them, anything at all. The healed man who met Jesus did not understand it all at once, but he only knew he got better. He didn't know precisely how or why or who Jesus was until much later. Now, what things are you blind about? You might not know. You might not know. Look at the Pharisees. They did not know they even needed healing. They did not know they could get any better than they were. They thought they saw everything, but Jesus calls them blind. And you and I may not know yet the things of God that we are blind about, or the things about ourselves that we are blind to, things that we willfully refuse to see. That might be very obvious, not just to God, but to others. How can we know what we don't see? How can we describe the color blue to someone who was blind from birth? You cannot know what you have not seen. How can we describe love to an abused child? Such a child may be blind to the reality that trustworthy love even exists. There are stories of people who have been cured of their physical blindness by surgery, who cannot bear to open their eyes because of the intensity of sight. Author Annie Dillard, in the story Pilgrim at Tinker Creek, she describes people who had an operation to restore their sight, people who had actually been born blind. And some had difficulty making sense of the images for some time, even familiar objects they had felt but not seen. A few even requested that the surgery be reversed so they could revert to blindness. Unbelievable. Could it be the same in our faith? Could God give us the second sight we need to see ourselves as we are and to see the world as it is? And for some, it is so disorienting and unpleasant that we vote for blindness instead. That is what the Pharisees did. And I'll let Jesus speak. He said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." Claiming to have knowledge of God, they brought judgment upon themselves. They didn't want to get better. They didn't want to learn anything new or to see in a new way. Their minds were completely made up and locked down tight. For a split second, they were faced with the crisis of seeing the world as God sees it, where people are more important than Sabbath rules and where the outcast were important. A world where the Messiah wasn't so judgmental and worried over who sinned or caused this or that. For a split second, they almost saw a world that did not belong to them and their rules and regulations. For a split second, the veil was lifted and they peeked into God's kingdom and they said, "No, let darkness cover me. I can't bear it. Take away the light." They chose to be blind. And we are all just a little bit blind. And I'll give a more personal example. And this is putting myself up to the light. When I look in the mirror and see what I see, I look pretty good. And if I tilt my head just right and comb my hair just so and kind of moose it up a little bit and exhale and puff my chest out, I look exactly like I looked in college. But then I saw a photograph, a picture taken of myself just a couple of weeks ago. And in the picture, my face is puffy. My hair doesn't start to way up here. My nose is going bulbous and I look just a little bit goofy. So now I know the truth. And it's going to take time and discipline, but I need to save up for a new camera. Blindness. We're all just a little bit blind. The word here that the blind man got and that we need to get is that you are loved. Even if you don't fully get it, you are loved. And you may still sin and fall short and give in to things that tempt you into bitterness and judgment, but you are still loved. I will and you will do these things. We still need a Messiah. We need a Savior. And Jesus is that Messiah, that Savior. And also the word of the gospel is we are infected with sin. We are alienated from God. We would not even gaze upon God. But only the blood of Christ can cure. And that sounds morbid and degrading. And so it sounded to the Pharisees before us. They said, "I see, I know God, I know how God works, and He couldn't work through people like you, Jesus." And yet they did not know themselves, and they in truth did not know God, and they could not see who Jesus was or how desperately they needed Him. Jesus looks like love. But only to those who know that without God, there is no hope. Not for me, not for you, not for even the greatest saint we have ever met. God's love and God's forgiveness is necessary. We emphasize that during Lent to help us make sense out of the cross. God's love and God's forgiveness is necessary. The Pharisees did not know that. They were blind. They looked in the mirror and they saw perfection. No need to change anything. No need to grow. I have arrived. Isn't God proud of me? I'm the best. What is wrong with all these other lesser beings? When you think you have arrived, you give yourself permission to judge others who you think aren't up to your standards, and you are blind. None of us gets to judge. That is God's job. And when we say, "Amen, preacher, I hate those judgmental people," even then we are judging and blind to it. I remember a lady once about the Pharisee and the publican, that parable Jesus told, and how the Pharisee stood up at the altar and said, "I thank you, God, that I'm not like other men." And the end of the children's sermon, my lady in a former church said, "And let us never be like that Pharisee." And I thought, oh, we're missing it again. There are all kinds of blindness. It's been on my mind this week. A young woman in one of my former churches, I performed her fourth wedding. She was 30 years old at the time. And before I agreed to do the wedding, I said, "We need to talk." I tried to find out what caused these divorces and what has changed so that this might not happen again, at least not in the same way. And it turns out she had two parents who were both alcoholics, and there was violence in her parents' marriage, and I did both of their funerals as well. I knew both of them. And when she was a little girl, she tried to make it better and never could. And in her marriage, 1, 2, and 3, she married alcoholics who beat her, still trying to make it better. Finally, she opened her eyes, the veil was lifted, and she saw what she was doing. Her fourth marriage was entirely different situation. And the last I heard, things were going fine. But there are all sorts of blindness. She didn't know what she was doing, but finally figured it out. There are times when we don't know what we are doing or why we are doing it. We are motivated by things beyond our conscious mind, and many times these things are destructive, and that's why all the decisions that make up our lives are important. One more brick in the foundation of our soul, one more slight turn that sets up the trajectory and the direction of our lives. And that includes even the movies we watch, the things we read, the music we listen to, the company we keep, what we do for entertainment, how we use our money, how we invest our time and talents, how we speak, how we act, and just how far over the line we allow ourselves to go. We are often unconscious as to what we are doing and blind to our own behavior, blind to what drives us and motivates us, makes us do what we do. We need to pray to God for the sight, the vision, to see ourselves as God sees us, and to see ourselves as others see us. We look at Jesus, we look in the mirror. Whose life is good enough? Who is without sin or error? Surely not mine, though I do try. I fail and fall and fumble. I want to end with a poem. This sort of emphasizes that we are dependent upon God's grace, whether we understand it completely, whether we grasp it completely, whether we appropriate it completely. We are still dependent upon God's grace, and let us rejoice in that good news. The poem goes like this. "And when I first pierced through the dark, when I did look at my own broken heart, at that moment I began to see that heaven is too good for you and me. We have no hope in our goodness alone. We've only to cast ourselves before His throne. And there our broken hearts confess our sins, our doubts, our unworthiness, not works, not wealth, nor how much I've grown. I wholly trust His grace alone." We need God's love, and through Jesus we can have it. We need God's forgiveness and grace, and through Jesus we know that we have it. We are all blind to what God has done for us and to how we relate to other people, until we give ourselves over to God in Christ. Lord, help us see. Lord, help us see. Amen.